Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live. This is Jim Masters here. Good to have you with us. It's also great to have Rhonda Gish with us. She is revered and celebrated artist and founder of Captive Image One, where she creates art using various mediums. Most amazing about Rhonda, among many amazing things, is that she never received any formal training, and everything she knows was self-taught. She paints with watercolor, oil, acrylic, and ink. She even sculpts, works in clay, and she does a lot of different things, too. Draws. I tell you, she has even written poetry, and she's been thinking of writing a book, and that's amazing. And we were just talking moments ago about her, a relative of hers is the incomparable Lillian Gish, which again is another brilliant, she was a wonderful, wonderful actress and artist. And so it runs in the blood, very, very, you know, doesn't fall far from the tree, as they say. Her subject matter depends on what has influenced her. And she has, as I mentioned, been thinking about writing a book, and I'm sure she will. The inspiration, she says, depends on how she feels when it comes to a subject matter or what is around her, people and events. She just sits down and she starts doing something. Her mind is always going, and she receives a lot of commission work as well, which is great. One of Rhonda's most amazing projects, which took her over 80 hours to complete, was a stained glass piece for Roger Ryman, famous motorcycle racer and head mechanic for Daredevil, Evel Knievel. She also recently painted a piece titled The World Today, which depicts and emphasizes diversity. It attracted the attention of national magazines as well. Another significant project was a meerschaum pipe that she hand-carved for a retiring police officer. That's amazing, too. Rhonda continues to make art and seeks to focus on it as much as possible. She says, art is in everybody, even the person that says, I can't draw a stick finger. Yeah, there is something there. Art is a great outlet for just resting your mind. Everybody should try it. And that's so true. She's so accurate. Art is in everybody. And you don't have to have the name Arthur to have art in you. Let's welcome her to the show. For the first time here on Close Up Radio. Rhonda, welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for asking me. It's a pleasure on my side as well.
Well, we appreciate it, and it's fascinating the work that you do. And I would love first to know, you know, I like to humanize the guests and make them relatable for the listeners, and so they figure out what makes them tick, why do they do what they do. Our guests, what are some of the things that inspired you to even want to go into the world of art?
Well, it was basically something that was just inside me crying to get out. And maybe it could have been the fact that my mother said, you'll never make it as an artist. You cannot make a living as an artist.
So you saw it as a challenge, right, if she said that.
The challenge, yeah. But it's the love. The love of creating something and seeing someone's eyes brighten or tears come to their eyes or to bring out the emotions. I really enjoy just creating. Pardon?
And do you generally start with a blank canvas?
I'm sorry?
Do you start with a blank canvas generally?
Yes. I'm also one of those that I don't pre-draw a picture. I start and see what it finishes like.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You find it inspiring, don't you? It's not just doing the work itself, but there's a lot of inspiration that comes from it, right?
There is. I like to mix my own colors. I like to bring out some sort of feeling from each painting, drawing, anything I do. I want to be able to touch people. And I want my work to touch them.
That's terrific, yeah. And I'm sure you're touched by art that you have always appreciated as well, right?
That is true, yes.
Yeah. Tell us about your art. People will say, okay, you know, what type of art does she do, and are there types of mediums that you work with more than others?
Well, most of my commission work has been in oil, or say even a picture they want done on a mural on their wall or on a building or something. But, you know, I have done acrylic where people ask me to do the acrylic too. But oil, I would say, is my main focus point for many of my paintings. I like the way the colors mix, and I like to work wet, and it's just a nice flow. And then I start, and my picture finishes, and I'm happy with it. So I prefer whatever the, if a person's asking me to do a piece, you know, of course I'll do it their way. But for my own personal showings and my website and such, I actually work with oil more than anything.
And for the listeners wanting to visualize what we're talking about, is it landscapes? Is it people, animals, nature, variety of different things? What are some of the things that you end up tackling?
Quite the variety, actually. I started out actually painting portraits because I found it, you know, everybody said, oh, that's the hardest. You can't do that. I can't do that. You know, it's too hard, you know. So they are painting their flowers and their trees and such, which are beautiful. But I wanted the challenge of being able to paint a person and have it look exactly like that person. And so I started off with that. And I do, sometimes it's very intense. So sometimes I'll, most of the time actually, I'll work with two or three canvases at one time. And one will be maybe a person, another an animal, another one maybe a scene, or it might even be a little of art. It just depends on how I feel or what I feel like painting that day.
That's great. So you have the freedom to be able to be inspired by life's observations.
Exactly.
When you're commissioned...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I'm sitting outside, say on the riverbank or something like that, you know, it might be a bird flying by that will give me an idea or influence me in some way. But it won't end up being a bird on the canvas. It will be maybe that bird reminded me of something, of someone. And then I'll go home and I'll paint, and it'll come out as to whatever actually influence me. Whatever the subject matter is doesn't necessarily mean it's a bird or a human. It's the feeling that I get from it.
Are there any particular pieces for you that stand out for you that you've done?
That is what?
Are there any particular pieces that stand out of work that you've done?
Oh, I've done so many. I think the one that is, I would say
most controversial piece that I did was Complexity of Youth. And it shows, it's actually a painting of my son, one of my sons. And he was going through a very tough time, and all teens do. I did. Everybody does. And so I showed it as complexity within the picture. It's not just a cut and dried picture, and it actually looks like a photograph that from facets is the only way I can explain it. I've done many works, but that one was the one that was the most complex for me. So I called it The Complexity of Youth. I wanted to bring out his personality at that time. And I did accomplish that. It's actually has many people questioning that particular painting. What
yeah.
can you do that?
You know? Right.
So it just depends on how I feel. And that one, I would say, was the most difficult one I've done, because it is, you know, something that was showing emotion.
Yeah, when you're showing emotion, that can be really deep, and it can be very, very powerful. Exactly, yeah. You want to take the time to really reflect the authenticity of what the emotion is. Quite amazing how you can see a piece of art and get what you get from it, you know, whatever connection you make, the relatability, see various things, nuances that maybe even remind you of elements of your own life and childhood and different things. And then somebody else can see the same piece of work, and they'll see different things and feel different things from what the other person is feeling and seeing. And then those people might even see things and feel things different than what you as the artist initially intended. And sometimes that could be a great surprise, right? They see and feel other things that you didn't even necessarily think about or set out to have them notice, see, or feel, but it can be quite surprising, right? It's all a part of the interpretation and relatability.
Well, I think that's what draws people to certain pieces of art, because it actually is representing something that they have felt or feel. So they're drawn to that particular, and I do believe that an artist that can portray different levels of emotion can satisfy the, viewers.
It works that way in music too, I believe. Yeah, music. They say that the music that, and there was a couple of studies that I read recently about music where some experts were talking about when you're listening to the radio, if people even still do that, or you say you go into a store or whatever and they have music on, if you hear music that was from a time period of when you were between the age of 12 and probably 18, that music will be the music that will captivate you and give you good feelings, and you'll connect with first, because you'll remember it during that time of your life between 12 and 18 that was influential, and you were growing and you were leaving childhood, going into, you know, junior part of life. And it's amazing how a time period of your life like that can also be very connective when it comes to music and how we listen to music. For, like I say that about Christmas music, which we're big fans of and play and collectors of and all of it. It's they're like lullabies that we've always heard. Not necessarily Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer, but O Come All Ye Faithful, all the other traditional yeah. ones that we've heard. They're like comforting, soothing, consequential lullabies that return at the end of every year, sort of reminding us of what things are about and what truly matters in life. And we've heard these melodies every year of our life since birth, and they've been around us in various ways, shapes, and forms, and they've always been there as a constant, no matter what goes on during those 12 months, good, bad, and ugly. Here they come back to sweeten and comfort, and it's amazing, and that's art, that's music. So I've always found Christmas music to be very fulfilling in that way, of the comfort and the makes you think of the childhood and fabulous holiday Christmases with family and all those great things sweep back in. And art like what you do can do that for people as well.
Well, it's like feel good music, okay? And like feel good movies, you know.
Right.
And art should do the same. It should at least bring out an emotion, you know, whether it be happiness, sadness, empathy, but it should bring out an emotion. And
do you focus on a specific emotion that you like to go towards more, or is it a range of emotions, or do you find there's emotions that you bring out in the work that you lean more towards? Like, there are some people who are very good at doing things that are exciting and colorful and bold and very joyful. There's others whose art, no matter what it is, they love and they specialize in things that are more deep and melancholy and reflective. How about for you?
Well, I'm probably one that does more of the deep and dark. And the sadness or the questioning within the type of picture that I do, you know, either in the eyes or surrounding or something. But every once in a while, because I don't want anybody to feel that I'm never happy, because that's not the case. I'm happy a lot, you know. So I get my dark pictures out, and then I'll turn around. Like right now, I'm working on a Western, for crying out loud. It's totally out of my norm, okay? But every once in a while, I'll do that, or, you know, a puddle of puppies, you know, something like that. So it just depends.
Well, puppies will get you no matter what. Put in some puppies and you've won them.
Puppies.
Are there artists that you admire as well?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Who would be some that stand out for you?
One of my favorites, and he's no longer with us, is John Updike. He not only also an author. And what brought me around to knowing him, it's not something that you just go to an art at a library or something and pick a book off the shelf and you're going to see John Updike. It just doesn't happen. But I happened across a book that had been given to me with a couple other books saying, you really should read these. And it was named Brazil. And it was totally out of what you would think, you know, but it was good, very good. And then I did a little more research on him and found out that he was an artist as well, and that was probably what drew me to it. And then I loved Salvador Dali. Seriously.
How about people like Norman Rockwell?
He was a very awesome artist. He was. But, you're drawn to your own type of different types of pictures that you favor. Okay, and I think he's great, you know, great illustrative art, but it's just not something I would go purchase or something I would do.
Right.
So, you know.
But you
but
admire the work, right? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. I admire any good artist. I don't care who they are, and even not so good, because at least they're out there doing what they want to do, you know, and they should. That's how they feel, and that's how they can express it, and hey, go for it, you know.
Sometimes I've asked this question of authors writing a book. How do you know when you're done? How do you know when you are, and I'll tie this question in as well. What do you find more difficult, getting started or knowing when you're finished and being comfortable enough to say it's done, I'm not doing any more tweaking, or I'm not doing anything else with it, I'm comfortable, I can now share this with the world, kind of like when I'm speaking to an author, I'll say, you know, what is it harder to put the first words on paper and get rolling and get the flow, or is it harder to know when to put the last period on the last word of the last sentence and then be able to walk away from your baby and be done with it? As far as your work, when you're working on a piece, how does it work for you? Is it harder getting going, or is it harder to be done and then let it go and let it breathe and be seen?
Well, I would say with me, it's not the getting started so much as the end, because I enjoy it so much. It's like, you know, and some paintings, of course, more than others, but it's like, you know, the end, you know, it's like, oh my, you know.
Yeah. Maybe
end,
I'll add in another
really
tree or something. I'll add in a
quit,
seagull.
You know? But yeah, I would say it's more difficult for me to end, because I'm always looking at my end piece and or piece at the end, and I'm looking saying, is there one more thing I can do? Is there one more thing I can say? And then I
and
get
how
to the
do
point
you do
where
that?
I say, well.
Yeah. I was going to say, because you could be perfectionistic about it and keep, almost like an editor, keep editing it and editing it and editing it to the point of it, and sometimes even loses what the original thought was because it's
exactly.
being so overworked. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as it was before, because now it has all these extra elements. So you've learned to be able to say, okay, you know what? And is it... Yes,
done.
And is it something where you have to say it's done, or do you bring in other people and say, what do you think, give it a look, let me know, or is it got to please, is it got to, you're the one that says it's done, it's got to be when you say it's done, not when others say, I think you're done.
It's up to me. It is.
Yeah,
I do.
You're
have,
the final, yeah.
Yeah, I do have a son that'll look at things and a couple friends, but I don't ask, do you think I need anything else? I wait until I'm absolutely done. I walked away from it. Once I walk away from something, that's it. Okay, so I don't go back. I've been known to have to be interrupted while I'm working on something. And if I let it sit too long, I can't go back to it. I can't.
You'll get
I
distracted from it. You've lost that energy.
Yeah. I've lost
passion.
That feeling.
Yeah, right. So you go with the feeling on it. Right, exactly.
With my kids, you know, I send them a thing on it or something and say, what do you think? I'm all done with this one, you know. And usually I hear, oh, my gosh, it's even better than the last one, you know, or something encouraging, of course. And sometimes I have to consider, okay, you know, it's my son. He's not going to say anything bad. But
exactly right.
Yeah.
On your website, you have many pieces of art for sale. Tell us about some of them.
Well, most I'm just my website's a work in progress. Okay, as I had said earlier, I am working on it, learning how to do it myself, and most of them are prints. There's only going to be a few that are going to be originals. Okay, and
But yeah, I have some work on there for sale. I have a guest spot for people that want to show something and see if they get any feedback from anybody. I have a gallery on there of previous art that I've done, commission work for various people. But yeah, most of them are prints, and some are small, some are large, and the sizing is on there. So, but I'm great for somebody to give me a call and say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. I don't see it on your site. Can you do this?
Right.
I have drawn, I want to say images for companies who were looking for a certain image. And I've done that. And,
I mentioned you paint with watercolor, oil, acrylic and ink, and you even sculpt and work in clay.
Right.
You draw, you've written poetry, and even thinking about writing a book, huh?
Well, I'm thinking very strongly about it. I have decided that, you know, there's just some things that I want to say. And it won't be a biography. It won't be anything like this. But
you won't name names.
Yeah, I won't name names. I will not name names. But I am going to. I'm going to definitely write a book. I've taken a little step further, and after speaking about, you know, I'm thinking about it, I've actually started putting it in motion. So
that's great. Congratulations on that. Do you have plans for the future, future projects, things you're excited about?
I am. I'm excited about learning how to do the things I need to do with my website.
Yeah.
And, I'm looking forward to some more entries in art shows when I've completed some more pictures. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. I only
amazing.
Do jury shows.
And I did mention, I slipped in a little bit, that you actually have a relation to the incomparable Lillian Gish, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Not
so great,
close
great
family.
Great aunt. Great aunt.
She's
great,
my
great
great aunt.
Aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah. That is amazing.
But see, the Gishes in her family was through Illinois and Kentucky,
yeah.
Ohio area, right through there. So.
Right, all through there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What advice, we've got about a minute left. What advice would you give listeners who are thinking about going into this kind of work?
Well, first, make sure it's not work. You know, make sure you really
right.
enjoy it.
You
got to
love it, yeah.
You have to love it. You have to have confidence in yourself, and you have to basically just know that there's always room for one more artist. I know art can be extremely competitive. There's no reason for that. You know, it's everybody out there trying to express themselves and enlighten people with their art, and just do it. Just do it.
The website to go to learn more is Captive Image and the number one. So that's Captive Image and then the number one.com. CaptiveImage1.com. A very special guest is Rhonda Gish of Captive Image One. We appreciate you being with us, Rhonda. This was fantastic and a wonderful conversation. You've been following your heart, and as you mentioned, everyone is an artist. And I really think it's a very inspiring conversation. Hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you.
I've enjoyed it. I have. I think it's a good service that you're doing. And keep it up. You know, I've really enjoyed the conversation.
I appreciate that. It means a lot. Best of the holidays to you and your family, and I hope we get a chance to explore some more and hear more about the incredible work that you do. And I think it's it's beautiful to have art in our world. We certainly need it. So you be well, and we'll chat again soon. Rhonda Gish joining us from the Cincinnati, Ohio area. I am your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, again, the website to connect with her and the extraordinary work, to see some of the work, CaptiveImage1.com. For all of us here, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening to this episode of Close Up Radio, and I invite you to stay there. We'll be back momentarily for another great guest and episode. Till then, have a terrific day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.